And good morning, everybody, as we get you going on a Football Friday edition of Sports Daily. Much to come today on your State Farm Insurance Picks of the Week. Pretty strongly NFL as we wait now for the bowl season and college football. Speaking of the NFL, had a 99-yard run last night in a blowout. My God, how far have the Jacksonville Jaguars fallen?
They laid right down, didn't they?
Boy, they did.
The only thing worth watching last night, as it turned out, was to see if Derrick Henry could break Ernie Never's touchdown record and run for 300 yards. And if it were a little closer, maybe he could have. Because the Jaguars have flatlined. And there was not one person on that team, especially in the secondary, interested in tackling Derrick Henry last night. And really no one did. That 99-yard run was pretty fun to watch. It's only the second time it's ever happened.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And two of the stiff arms were just incredible. So
he's a big man.
Oh my God, he's a big man and a fast big man. Supposedly hit the fastest open field speed of any running back in the NFL this year on that play. So there you go. The Tennessee Titans continue to hold serve, and what have they improved to? What, 6-5?
I think they're seven and six.
7-6. Yeah. Excuse me, I knew they were one game over. And so there you go. And the Jags are the classic example of a team that is absolutely quit, and I mean quit. They have no interest in being there at all. None. So. Good.
There's
God.
Your Thursday night football breakdown. That's what you need to know about that.
That's all you need to know.
2 minutes and 25 seconds worth of analysis. Yep.
I mean, if what they have the ball, it was 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
7-2, and the Panthers, and they had the ball where? Not the Panthers, the Jaguars.
Jags.
Had the ball first and goal at the 3.
Yep. That's correct.
First and goal at the 3, and couldn't get the ball in the end zone.
Went for it on fourth down. Fournette got stuffed, and then the next play, Derrick Henry took it to the house.
Yeah, so who knows if anything would have changed if Fournette had gotten in the end zone. But anyway, that's all. Really, there is nothing else in that Thursday night.
How about a little hot stove?
Nothing.
How about a little
That's what I like.
Good.
That's where I'm going.
All right.
I'm with you. All right, Shane, we've got a lot of different ways that we can go here, and Nathan Eovaldi signing a 4-year, $67 million deal with the Red Sox. We chatted about this yesterday. I think it's interesting, and I think it's right that Dave Dombrowski ended up settling for a $17 million a year average, which is about what Nathan Eovaldi would have gotten, more or less, on the open market. So that's the player getting what he deserved, and the franchise retaining a player that is so well-loved, and them doing the right thing by the player, which everybody seems happy on a move like that. So
he's,
I was actually kind of happy
to
see
He's twice
it.
Repaired as far as his elbow is concerned, and speaking of concern, if there is any, that would be it. Guy throws 100 miles an hour on a twice-repaired, surgically-repaired right elbow. And was willing to throw every single day in the postseason last year. That's kind of good news, bad news, you know? Is he going to hold up? 4 years for how old is he, by the way? Oh, 28. 4 years?
Yep.
Okay, so his final year of the contract is age 32 season. Yeah. One Tommy John surgery, maybe I wouldn't worry as much, but he's had two. And I'm not Frank Job or, you know, an elbow expert, but the guy throws 100 miles an hour.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the human body, first of all, is not intended to throw a baseball overhanded, let alone throw it 100 miles an hour. So if he holds up, I guess I'll just get to this. If he holds up for the whole, for the duration of the deal, then Dave Dombrowski probably ought to go out and buy some lottery tickets.
Yeah, you're probably
right. I'm a little nervous for you, put it that way.
Well, I mean, 4 years is probably a bridge too far, but we'll see. Very, very popular move in New England, as we chatted about yesterday, and no discount. Mm-hmm. Essentially no discount, just a straight deal that essentially he would have gotten. Maybe he wouldn't have gotten the, maybe he got a better deal for what he did for the Red Sox.
Yeah, may have.
Would he have gotten 4 years out there? I don't know if he would have gotten 4 years.
Because he did what he did on with on that arm, maybe
right?
Another team would balk at that 4 years, 68. Maybe. So
yeah,
that could be a that could very well be a Jerry Jones slash Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin contract. Like, yeah, we think you got something left, but this is kind of thanks for what you just did.
That may very well be right.
A little
in
bit.
In this case, I'm not the one paying him, but in this case, I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay. All right. Are the Indians in this thing to stay competitive amongst the continuing rumors with Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer? They re-sign Carlos Carrasco. Thoughts on this one? This is an interesting move. At the age of, what is he, 32, 33? He's up there a little bit.
He's 31 right now.
31, okay.
And he will be
right,
with the team through 2022.
Right.
It was 17-10, Carrasco was, 192 innings. This is this isn't exactly like the Mariners, but they are retaining just enough people while shopping their big guys, kind of disguising a rebuild without totally going Florida Marlins on you.
Well,
you know,
it helps that they're in the division that they're in.
100% it helps that they're in the division that they're in, because you would think if they just kind of keep it together while shipping off some really expensive parts for prospects, you could still win the division. And that's probably
right.
Probably accurate. His 2020 option, Carlos Carrasco's, was $10 million, and he'll be paid $12 million in 2021 and 2022. That's actually not bad as far as money spent for a proven big league starter. And even more than that. I mean, he struck out 231.
Well, he's an innings eater.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an inning. He pitches a lot of innings.
And he's
so.
A strikeout guy, 231 strikeouts. So that was a good move by them, just kind of disguising a rebuild while kicking people's butts in an inferior division.
We are seeing that a lot in baseball now. You can argue that the D-backs have basically, Goldschmidt is a pending free agent. And thus they made the trade for really what? I mean, with all due respect to Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly, I think those were the two headliners,
those
right?
Those are the two guys with big league experience, yes.
Right. Okay. And maybe the Cardinals only get him for a full year rental. I don't know. St. Louis tends to be a place where guys go and like playing, and then they end up staying there. Maybe Paul Goldschmidt will. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But we're seeing a similar situation with the Mariners, now with the D-backs. A.J. Pollock gone.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Corbin gone. Paul Goldschmidt gone. What does that look like now?
Well, like we just talked about, you're just getting enough big leaguers in exchange. I kind of air quotes the big leaguers because – what, Luke Weaver was 7-11 last year, I think, and a high 4 ERA. Carson Kelly was the backup to Yadi Molina. Didn't hit much when he got the chance. But the big thing here is with St. Louis, and can they keep Paul Goldschmidt beyond 2019? By the way, a former Missouri Valley Conference player was involved in that trade, too. Andy Young, infielder.
Oh, yeah.
Goes from the Cardinals to the D-backs. He was a 37th rounder out of Indiana State. Played a little bit in Double-A last year. Plus, this is maybe the best news or equally good news for the D-backs. They get a round B compensation pick, too, in the draft. You don't often see picks. That's basically a second or a third round draft pick, in addition to getting Luke Weaver, Carson Kelly. And if Andy Young works out, I mean, he's not a prospect, you know, by definition. He was a 37th rounder. So if they get anything out of Andy Young, that'll maybe make the trade worthwhile, especially if Goldschmidt doesn't stay in St. Louis. But
have we ever been in an era where it's easier for the contenders to stay that way because they're able to fleece some of these teams that are looking to rebuild? In other words, I don't know. How many teams are really trying to win right now in Major League Baseball?
Well, besides the big market teams, you mean? I mean,
you know, Boston, New York, Chicago.
Now, Chicago's an interesting team because they'll have us believe that they're cash strapped and there's not much they can do this offseason. That they're going to have to be creative, they say, due in large part to the huge contract that they gave Yu Darvish, for example. That one's kind of an anchor around their neck. But it remains to be seen what they do now to kind of counteract the Cardinals' move, and maybe the Brewers for that matter. You know, the Cardinals, that's a big shot across the bow getting Paul Goldschmidt. You know, now their lineup looks like this, kind of. Carpenter goes to third base, which, by the way, he was at a +6 defensive run save there last year. So he was quite a bit better last year there than he was in his career. So Carpenter plays third, Paul DeJong at short, Goldschmidt. They will hope that Ozuna is healthy. Mm-hmm. He's in left. Jose Martinez in right, Yadi catching. That's all right.
Pretty good lineup.
That's all right. And
not
so
bad.
now what does, if anything, the Cubs and the Brewers respond with? Another bit of local flair, in addition to an old Missouri Valley Conference guy being traded, Tommy Hotovy, former Shocker pitcher, was promoted to pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs, replacing Jim Hickey. Jim Hickey stepped away after one season as the pitching coach there for personal reasons. And Tommy, who had spent the last four seasons in a scouting and strategic role for the Cubs staff, basically a runs saved analyst, for lack of a better phrase, is what he did. He worked very closely with strategy coach Mike Borzello, bullpen coach Lester Strode, and the pitching coaches at the time, Chris Bozzio and Jim Hickey. And Theo Epstein just wanted to, have the continuity stay there. And apparently the pitchers trust Tommy. And so 37-year-old Tommy Hotovy, former Shocker pitcher, is now the pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs. How about that?
That's something else. That's great.
You talk about the way of the new world in baseball. Tommy basically, behind the scenes, would meet with the pitchers and catchers and the coaches, of course, and go over the hitting tendencies and the spray charts and all that other stuff, who's hot and who's not, with the team that they were playing at the beginning of the series.
And
he'd done that for four
years.
Yeah. And now he's the PC.
Well, even more reason to pay attention to the Cubs now.
Mm-hmm.
If I said to you, there are really only 8 or 10 teams, maybe, let's say 8, just to make the conversation interesting, that can win the World Series, would you balk at that?
No. I'd say maybe even less.
This is kind of where we are so top-heavy right now in baseball. So top-heavy. And there are so many teams right now below the Mendoza line that are just, they can't win. And we know they can't win before the season even starts.
Well, there are potential winners of divisions that can't even win the World Series.
Right.
I'm looking at you, Atlanta, and you, Cleveland.
Yeah, I've got those on my list.
Even if you win your division, I don't like your chances one iota to win the World Series.
Yep, I'm with you.
Isn't that too bad? Isn't there something wrong with that?
I think there is something wrong. That's kind of why I brought it up, because I'm complaining about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm complaining about it being a fan of one of the elite teams, the one that happens to be the defending World Series champion. But I'm not sure that's good for baseball right now. Not necessarily that the Red Sox are the World Series champions, but where we are right now. I mean, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Dodgers. Who else would you put in that pool? Would you put Washington now with Corbin and then figuring that maybe they're going to re-sign?
Well, not as it stands right this second. Cubs.
Not as it stands this
second. I think Cubs, if they get healthy. Brendan Morrow, by the way, is going to start the season on the DL. They thought Morrow's elbow would be okay with the off-season of rest, and instead he had to have a procedure this past month. But if I think there's enough talent on the Cubs team, if they all either get healthy or just be themselves, they'll be okay. And a team that nobody's particularly crazy about playing once postseason.
So maybe there's only seven then. If you think St. Louis, the Cubs, Milwaukee, Dodgers, and then it would be the Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, right?
Yep. Not the
A's.
And
then the middle class.
Not the Central Division champion, whoever that is. You'd think that the Mariners, which makes their plight a little more head scratching, that they were 89 and 73, and they got rid of their closer, their second baseman, whatever you think about Robinson Cano, Gene Segura, who I really like, he's a good player.
Yeah, I do too.
But you know, it's kind of what we were talking about yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, and RJ Anderson from CBS Sports. Look, when you're minus 34 and you're 16 over 500. It's a little fluky. You're a little lucky.
It's a warning sign.
Yeah.
No question. So do you agree? So here's my middle class. Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Oakland, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Colorado is my middle class. With the Nationals. And the Nationals are in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else is kind of get back to me when you got something.
Uh-huh. Now,
I don't
want to be misunderstood here. Not everybody should have a legit shot of winning the World Series or the Super Bowl or any NBA title. I mean, there's rebuilds everywhere. But I'm kind of with you. This is a top-heavy time that we're living in through Major League Baseball. I saw a report. You know, we were talking about shifts yesterday and if it's good or bad or should we ban this thing or what. Rob Manfred, apparently, after a little more research, he didn't like the shifts when he took over 5 years ago. And he made it pretty clear, I guess, at the time. And the competition committee has given him some strong backing. And one front office exec told The Athletic that he thinks it's a layup to get a rule change approved by the players. I find that a little hard to believe, but because you know players are represented by both pitchers and hitters, so the hitters don't like them. But since 5 years ago, shifts obviously have increased. That's easy to see. Shifts were up 30% last season, and the league-wide batting average of .248 was baseball's lowest since 1972. Now, one doesn't necessarily have to do with the other, but it helps.
Sure it does.
Any rule change, obviously, would have to be approved by the players' union. But in addition to the drop in batting average, strikeouts topped hits for the first time ever. There were more strikeouts than hits. And this is minutia, but this kind of goes with the shift thing. According to The Athletic, there were fewer ground ball hits in 2018 since baseball expanded to 30 teams. Chances of a left-hand hitter reaching base on a pulled ground ball to the right side has dropped to the lowest rate in a decade and a half. No surprise there.
Well, that's what the shift is designed to do.
Yep.
It's this is designed not to let many balls through the infield. So.
Yep. And so we'll see if this actually has any traction or shifts get banned or, and most importantly, obviously, if the players sign off on that. All right, what's on tap a little later on in the show? We'll talk to Paul Sollentrop next segment. We'll have a little shocker talk, strategic communications at WSU and the Roundhouse. Paul Sollentrop, as Wichita State gets set to take on Oklahoma this weekend. The college football awards, the real ones, not sports daily ones, were given away last night and had a couple of problems with a couple of the recipients of the College Football Awards last night. Hugh Freeze has a new job again, so we'll have some college football talk coming up in second hour. And, of course, State Farm picks coming up at 10:25. All that straight ahead and much more here on your station for Sports KFH. Paul Sullentrop is on the clock.